Welcome. We are grateful you joined us today at Liberty City Podcast. Liberty City is a community of believers valuing people, and we're committed to supporting your faith journey. We pray this message from Pastor Nadia Mary Church impacts you today.
Yes, please. Thank you. Whoo, man. Looking forward to this. Levi's right. I have been laboring over this message, and it's really because I am passionate about the Holy Spirit, and I really want to make sure that as we head into next week, Pentecost Sunday, that we have got a greater understanding of who He is. I obviously know that we've got a bunch of seasoned Christians in here, but if you look around, we've got a bunch of non-seasoned Christians in here as well. And so my prayer is that this message would be either a wonderful reminder for the seasoned of those, or it would be a great revelation for the people who might be hearing this for the first time. So before I start, I'm going to pray and then we'll get into it. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, would you fill this place? Would you speak to every person? Would you draw close to us? Speak through me this afternoon, I pray, in Jesus' name. And every person said, amen. Amen. Now, I feel as though it's important before I start to talk about the Holy Spirit that I make clear a couple of things. The first one is that there are a few things I'm going to talk about today that are often controversial in the church. They can actually be quite dividing. And what I've come to realize is this: the most important thing about any relationship is that you're in a relationship and you get to know that person. Because you can research all you like, you can read as many documentations as you so desire, but at the end of the day, if you don't know the person, if you don't know who they are and you don't spend time with the person, then the reading is great, but it's probably not going to matter much in your life. And so at the end of the day, when it comes to the Holy Spirit, yes, it's good to learn about Him. Yes, it's good to figure out your theology around it. But most important, honestly, most important is that you spend time with Him. Spend time with the Holy Spirit. Talk to Him. Get to know who He is. The only way that you do that is by giving Him your time. Amen? Amen. Amen? Amen? Amen. Are you with me today? Because like Levi said, I have spent a lot of time researching this. So if you're going to sit back there looking at me all kind of like, I don't know if I'm into this, then man, you need to meet my mother because she will have a few words to say to you. All right, let's get into the 2 Corinthians and man, Landon, I pray for you today, okay? I wish you all the very best as you follow along. 2 Corinthians 3:17. And I feel it's important to start here when it comes to the Holy Spirit says this. Now, the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. In the Passion Translation, now the Lord I'm referring to is the Holy Spirit, and wherever He is Lord, there is freedom. If there's anything I've come to know about the Holy Spirit, it's that where He is, there is freedom. And why? Because He loves people. He is all about bringing gifts into your life and activating things in your life so that you can start walking into a greater sense of freedom than you've ever imagined. You can start living a better life. You can start becoming a better person. Freedom, because He loves us. He loves every single one of us. And so I want to talk today in starting by sharing about my journey with the Holy Spirit. Because my journey, I believe, began with the Holy Spirit when I was quite young. For those of you who don't know me, I was not raised a Christian. I didn't know anything about Jesus. I didn't know anything about God. But I believe that the Holy Spirit was speaking to me as a young girl. I will never forget approaching this door. And it was a door in our house, and for some reason my mum had put on Footprints in the Sand. Does anyone know that Footprints in the Sand? I feel like the Holy Spirit used that poem for so many people who didn't know Jesus, because that for me was just something. I remember as a little girl, I don't know how old I was, maybe I was 5 or 6 or 7, and I remember staring at it and reading it and going, who's that? Who's this about? I don't even know what's going on. And I'd go back to that poem over and over again, looking at it, trying to figure it out, wondering who's at the door and wondering what's going on. And I remember in those early days having this real sense that there was something more. There was something going on. And even though I wasn't a Christian, even though I didn't know the Lord, I didn't know anything about church, in those moments were my first encounters with the Holy Spirit. John 15:26 says this, "When the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me." In the Passion it says, "And I will send you the Divine Encourager from the very presence of my Father. He will come to you, the Spirit of truth emanating from the Father, and he will speak to you about me." This gives us a picture of the Holy Spirit coming to all of mankind, whether you know God or whether you don't. The Holy Spirit, his whole thing. And if you would picture with me for a moment, I just remember standing there as a little girl. And I didn't know it at the time, but I look back and I can almost picture the person of the Holy Spirit standing with me, saying, "Hey, Nadia, you might be six, but man, there's a God who loves you. You don't know him, but it's true. God is real." And for me, I look back and I go, wow, the Holy Spirit was speaking to me even then. And I wonder for you, when did the Holy Spirit first start speaking to you? When did the Holy Spirit first start talking to you and declaring the truth to you? It's an amazing thing to start to look back and picture and say, wow, even before I knew Jesus as my Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit was with me, speaking to me, testifying about the Father. I remember when I got baptized, I was 15. I started kind of going to church when I was about 14. The funniest thing about my baptism is when I stood up there, I was just about to get baptized, and genuinely, I do not think I was saved. I think I was standing there like, yeah, I'll get baptized, kind of go to church, like, oh, great. But the reason I say that is because I was standing there and I remember it so clearly as they were getting ready to pray. There were three of us and I thought, oh my gosh, I'm doing this. And I genuinely think that in that moment, as I was about to get baptized, I gave my life to Jesus. It's hilarious. I'd heard all the messages, but I hadn't really declared Jesus as the Lord of my life. And I stood there, and it was unlike anything else because I was standing and I was praying and I was repenting, and I could feel the presence of God moving on my life. And it was like, wow, everything is about to change. My whole world is about to change. The trajectory of my life is about to shift. And I had this acute awareness that as I stood there giving my life to Jesus in that moment, an acute awareness that my whole world, my whole life would be dedicated to making his name great and seeing other people have that first generation Christian moment as well. And so I stood there, and in our country, I'm indigenous to New Zealand, we get given these necklaces as a very young child. They're called a greenstone. And I was standing there holding my greenstone for some reason, thinking, oh my gosh, everything is about to change. And as I stood there, the greenstone broke in half, which is quite unusual, broke in half in my hand, and I pulled it and just had this real awareness that I was breaking away from my old life and beginning a new life. And in that moment, the Holy Spirit came alive in me. It came alive. The Spirit of God came alive on the inside. And everything changed then, because once he is in you, the seed of his character starts to impact you and you produce what's called the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Then one day, I was sitting outside a school. It wasn't my school, but it was called Miramar Christian School. I was sitting on a field, and again, another moment I'll never forget. I was sitting on a field and I was actually talking to God, basically sharing about how lonely I was feeling. My mum had moved away. I was living with my brother and his family, and I was feeling incredibly lonely as a teenager. And I sat on that field that day, and I felt the Holy Spirit come and sit with me. And I didn't know what to do. I was kind of freaked out. I knew that something was happening, and I knew I wasn't alone. And I knew it was slightly different to the awakening that had happened on the inside of me. And so I sat there and I thought, well, I don't know what to say, so I'll just start to write. And so I wrote this letter to the Holy Spirit. It went something along the lines of, thanks for coming to sit next to me. I feel really lonely at the moment, so I'm really grateful that you would be my friend. And at the end of the letter, I wrote these simple words, which is the title of my message today. I just wrote, nice to meet you, Holy Spirit. Nice to meet you, Holy Spirit. And so today it feels odd to talk about this friend of mine. And as Levi has said, I've done my very best to make sure that I've kind of searched the scriptures and watched all of the videos of old and all of that, because it's strange to be up here talking about someone who I know and knowing that he's in the room, because you kind of feel like he should just come up here and tell us all about himself. And sometimes I wonder, like, if I just stood and left the mic, would someone just start talking? But that's not going to happen. Today, I'm going to share about my friend, the Holy Spirit. And if you don't know him, my prayer is that you'd get to the end of this message and be able to say those same words, nice to meet you, Holy Spirit. So the first thing I want to talk to you about today is the personality. The personality of the Holy Spirit is found in his fruits. Galatians 5:19, now get ready, guys, please. If you're sleepy, you have free rein to go to the back and grab a coffee. Is that what you're doing? How good. No, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to call you out, but I did. If you need to wake up, please wake up, because this is going to be a teaching session on the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5:19 to 26 says this: the cravings of the self-life are obvious. Sexual immorality, lustful thoughts, pornography, chasing after things instead of God, manipulating others. Aren't we just amazing? Manipulating others, hatred of those who get in our way, senseless arguments, resentment when others are favored, temper tantrums, angry quarrels, only thinking of yourself, being in love with your own opinions, being envious of the blessing of others, murder, uncontrolled addictions, wild parties, and all other similar behavior. Haven't I already warned you that those who use their freedom for these things will not inherit the kingdom of God? But the fruit produced by the Holy Spirit within you is divine love in all its varied expressions, joy that overflows, peace that subdues, patience that endures, kindness in action, a life full of virtue, faith that prevails, gentleness of heart, and strength of spirit. Never set the law above these qualities, for they are meant to be limitless. The Holy Spirit fills us with seeds of his character, and it's up to us how we deal with that seed. Before God, we think in a certain way, we act in a certain way, but God has designed evangelism to be done through creation, and we are part of that creation. People will look at a mountain and say, wow, God is real. People should look at our lives as Christians and say, wow, God has done something transformational in the life of that person. Our lives, who we are, should resemble God and should be evangelistic in nature. Dr. Leaf, I love Dr. Leaf. Are there any other Dr. Leaf lovers out there? I love Dr. Just a few. If you don't know her, you need to know her, guys. Dr. Leaf shares about how our brains are made up and how our behaviors are happening because of a way of thinking, and also basically describes it like a tree. And I love that picture, because the Bible also talks about our heart being the soil. And so the seed of the Holy Spirit comes into our heart and starts to produce the way that we think. And out of that is the fruit, our behaviors, the way that we act, the things that we do. And so I love that she talks about that stuff. And so often we can think to ourselves, well, that's just how I think. That's the way I am. This is who I am. No, that she also teaches that you can retrain the way that those branches are, and also retrain the kind of fruit that you are producing. Who does that? Not just us. But when the Holy Spirit comes to live on the inside of you, we are called to be people who start to become more like the character of who he is. And so all of those things of the flesh that I listed before, we are supposed to be empowered by the Holy Spirit and start to really look at this stuff and say, man, where do I need a shift? Where do I need a change? And the power of the Holy Spirit helps us to change it. Our minds and the way we live are worth focusing on, guys. Because when you ask God to be Lord of your life, you become his. You are a Christ representative. 1 Corinthians 3:16 says, "Do you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in your midst?" 1 Corinthians 6:19 to 20 says, "Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies." Romans 8:5 to 6 says, "Those who live according to the flesh have their minds," the way that they think, "have their minds set on what the flesh desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace." Isn't that amazing in a world where we are so caught up on wanting to try and find inner peace? I mean, it's everywhere. Peace, 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 peace. Guys, it's there. It's in you. The Holy Spirit is in you. And when you start to walk according to his purpose, when you start to push aside the flesh, when you actually start to focus in on the fruits that he wants from your life, you find the freedom. You find life. You find peace. We must be people who are thoughtful every day of the fruits of the Spirit. For a while, I ran a girls' discipleship group, and every week we would pick a fruit that we would feel to focus on. And it's funny that the Schroders are here today, because Jess has 9 trees that I believe you've called the fruits. Yeah, and they're fruit trees. Yeah, she's planted 9 fruit trees in her backyard, and I just love that. And so we would focus on it. We would focus on love, joy, peace, patience, virtue, which is goodness, faith, gentleness, and strength. We would focus on these things. And I think that today, guys, this is the thing. As Christians, we are good at reading our Bible. We are good at praying. We are good at getting into it. But if you're not focusing on these fruits of the Spirit and looking at your life and saying, does my life produce these fruits? Then we've got it all wrong. The Holy Spirit has come in, and the way that we are going to represent him well and start to find a life of peace is when we focus on these things. The second thing about the Holy Spirit is that the power of the Holy Spirit is found in his gifts. Now, you think I've just been rambling on and teaching thus far. Get ready, because it's going to go up a notch. Found in his gifts. There are 3 types of gifts that the Holy Spirit brings into our lives. The first is ministry gifts. Ministry gifts are for those in the office of ministry. The second is motivational gifts. For every born-again Christian, and the motivational gifts are usually evident before salvation. Motivational gifts are basically things that motivate you in your day-to-day. They're things that you're naturally quite good at. And then the third of them is the manifestation gifts. Big word, but it's, you know, look it up. It's not that exciting. Available to every born-again Christian. Once you have asked for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, or the power of the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Spirit to clothe you, however you'd like to describe that moment. Manifestation gifts. 3 different gifts. The ministry gifts are teacher, pastor, evangelist, prophet, and apostle. And they are often described as the 5-fold ministry gift, because you can find them on the hand and it's an easy way to remember it. The teacher is the little finger, because it gets into all the little places and starts to figure things out. The second is the pastor, because they're married to the church. The third is the evangelist. Very loud, stands out, tends to draw the room to themselves. The fourth is the prophet.
which points the way to the future and points things out in people's lives. And the fifth is the apostle, and the apostle can touch every single gift, okay? Ministry gifts. And those are when you're in the office of ministry. The next one are motivational gifts. The motivational gifts, as I said, are in your life. They're kind of there from the beginning. They're a makeup of your personality. The first one is prophecy. A person with the motivational gift of prophecy applies the word of God to a situation so that sin is exposed and relationships are restored. He or she has a strong sense of right and wrong and speaks out against compromise and evil. Now, as I start to say this, if you have never studied the gifts of the Spirit, there is going to be a moment with a bunch of these where something will leap on the inside of you because you're recognizing that it's you. Stop in that moment, recognize what it is, write it down so that you know how God has created you to be. Is that cool? It's really important. If you get to the end of this today and you haven't somewhat discovered who God has kind of made you to be and how you should be outworking the gifts in your life, then this was all for nothing. The reason that we're doing this is for the benefit of you guys, for the benefit of all of us. So we've got prophecy. You know what? Prophetic people who have the motivational gift in it, they're very black and white. They're those people who you sometimes say to them, you know, I think you could just soften around the edges the things that you have to say. I get that he was saying that and I get that he did that, but the way you approached it was maybe like too harsh, you know? They tend to be those people. The next one is serving. A person with the motivational gift of serving is driven to demonstrate love by meeting practical needs. The server is available to see a project through to the end and enjoys doing physical work. The next one is teaching, and I cracked up, as in I laughed so much when I read this because of the week that I've had. But the next one is teaching. A person with the motivational gift of teaching is passionate about discovering and validating the truth. A teacher is particularly concerned with the accuracy of information, especially church doctrine, and is often gifted with research abilities. The next one is exhorting. A person with the motivational gift of exhortation wants to see believers grow to spiritual maturity. An exhorter is an encourager at heart and is often involved in the ministries of counseling, teaching, and discipling. The next one is giving. Remember, these are just the motivational gifts. I haven't even got into the manifestation gifts, so if you need to pinch yourself to wake up, please do. Giving. A person with the motivational gift of giving wants to use financial resources wisely in order to give to meet the needs of others. A giver is usually good at finding the best buy, noticing overlooked needs, and maintaining a budget. These are actually gifts that God gives to us. The next one is organizing. A person with the motivational gift of organizing is able to accomplish tasks and solve problems through analysis and delegation. An organizer often discerns the talents and abilities of others and knows how those individuals can best serve within a ministry or on a particular project. And the final one is mercy. A person, they're my favorite people. A person with the motivational gift of mercy is sensitive to the emotional and spiritual needs of others. So those of you who know Dory, this would be Dory, okay? A mercy giver is drawn to people in need and seeks to demonstrate compassion, understanding, and love to them. Those are the motivational gifts. And there should be at least one of those that came alive on the inside of you. And can I tell you that that is a God-given gift that he has put on the inside of you to build your life and to build the church. The next one are the 9 manifestation gifts. And Jesus, come and speak to me, be with me, and no one is allowed to throw anything at me when we get to the point of speaking in tongues. 1 Corinthians 7 to 11 says this. Each believer is given continuous revelation by the Holy Spirit to benefit not just himself, but all. For example, the Spirit gives to one the gift of the word of wisdom. To another, the Spirit gives the gift of the word of revelation knowledge. And to another, the Spirit gives the gift of faith. And to another, the same Spirit gives gifts of healing. and to another the power to work miracles, and to another the gift of prophecy, and to another the gift to discern what the Spirit is saying, or discernment of spirits, and to another the gift of speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to another the gift of interpretation of tongues. Remember, it is the same Holy Spirit who distributes, activates, and operates these different gifts as He chooses for each believer. As He chooses. Now, it's often said that you can only have one or you can only have two. Let me read Luke 11:9-13 says this. So it is with your prayers. Ask and you'll receive. Seek and you'll discover. Knock on heaven's door and it will one day, open for you. Every persistent person will get what he asks for. Every persistent seeker will discover what he needs. And everyone who knocks persistently will one day find an open door. Let me ask you this. Do you know of any father who would give his son a snake on a plate when he asked for a serving of fish? Of course not. I feel like I know a few fathers like that. Of course not. Do you know of any father who would give his daughter a spider when she asked for an egg? Of course not. If imperfect parents know how to lovingly take care of their children and give them what they need, how much more will the perfect Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit's fullness when His children ask Him? The gifts of the Holy Spirit equip the church to express the faithfulness and the fullness of God to the world. They are given to the church to benefit both believers and unbelievers. These gifts represent the power of the Holy Spirit through the life of a believer in a given situation to demonstrate God's supernatural power to build the church. They are the words of wisdom, word of knowledge, faith, gifts of healing, working of miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits, different kind of tongues, and interpretation of tongues. And what's the saddest thing about this is that we have globally, the church, we look globally across the church, and so many Christians are unaware of the manifestation gifts that God has given them. And yet the manifestation gifts are one of the most important parts of our journey as Christians. We must be thoughtful of them. We must ask God for them. We must be prayerful about them. As you learn about the gifts, remember that the Holy Spirit is the source of these gifts, and they are to be outworked in earnest dedication to bring God glory and to build the church. Word of wisdom. For some have been gifted the word of wisdom. A word of wisdom can be defined as a supernatural provision of divine wisdom or a right application of knowledge. A word of wisdom is given to a Christian to enable them to know what to do or say in specific situations. For example, Jesus manifested a word of wisdom to the Pharisees when they were intent on trapping him with their question about paying tax to Caesar. He gave his famous reply and said, "Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's and to God that which is God's." He promised us similar wisdom for times of emergency. Luke 12:11-12 says, "And remember this, when people accuse you before everyone and forcefully drag you before the religious leaders and authorities, do not be troubled. Don't worry about defending yourself or be concerned about how to answer their accusations. Simply be confident and allow the Spirit of wisdom to access your heart, and He will reveal in that very moment what you are to say to them." When faced with a hard or dangerous situation, a word of wisdom may be given which resolves the difficulty or silences the opponent. And remember, it's not your own wisdom of things you've learned about, but wisdom given to you for a specific situation. So for some of you, you have that gift. The next one is word of knowledge, which is supernatural revelation of facts past, present, or future. Remember, to be thoughtful of what one of these gifts is jumping out at you, which were not learned through the efforts of the natural mind, This spiritual gift is exemplified by divine knowledge that is given when information is needed immediately. We were talking about that yesterday with the Monfies. When information is needed immediately, and when the only way to get that information is through spiritual means, a revelation of God. The next one is faith. The manifestation gift of faith is different than the saving faith, or the faith listed in the fruit of the Spirit. The spiritual gift of faith is a sudden urge of faith, usually in a crisis, to confidently believe without a doubt that as we act or speak in Jesus' name, it shall come to pass. When the gift of faith is in operation, believers have an unshakable confidence that God will do what he has promised to do, even when it appears impossible. And I love those people. Those people of faith are the people who are just unshaken. You approach them and they're like, you know what, this is going to happen. God is good, amazing, I believe it with all my heart. They are people who have the manifestation gift of faith. I love those people. The next one is gift of healing. The healing of sickness and disease of the spirit, bitterness, greed, and guilt, as well as of the body and as well as of the soul, discouragement, worry, and jealousy. And can I just stop there for a second and just mention this? Because I know there's a lot to take in, and I pray that you're taking it in. But when you go home and go through these notes, start to look at the connections that the gifts of the motivational gifts have with your manifestation gifts. For example, with the gift of healing, often the person who has the gift of mercy will have a dormant gift of healing if they haven't become aware of it at that time. And so it's good to look at the motivational gifts that you have, and if you're struggling to figure out which manifestation gifts you have, start to look at the connections, because usually they're in different categories. Gift of healing. The next one is working of miracles. This is a supernatural ability to serve others as a channel of God's miracle working power. My goodness, I would love to have this. The definition implies no boundaries or limitations, which is appropriate since the power of our mighty God has no boundaries or limitations. The spiritual gift is manifested through direct divine interventions that meet needs with miraculous power. And the next one is prophecy. We're almost there, guys. The gift of prophecy is the only gift that is included in all three spiritual gifts. That's important to notice. It's the only gift that's included in motivational gifts, ministry gifts, and manifestation gifts. And really, my thought behind that is just that it's important. It's really important to God. And so we must uphold it and continue it. In 1 Corinthians 12:11, prophecy is the English translation for the Greek word prophetia, meaning prediction, although it should not be defined as predicting the future, okay? Nor as powerful preaching, but instead as telling something that God has spontaneously brought to mind. Prophesying, however, is directly proclaiming the mind of God by the inspiration and prompting of the Holy Spirit and not of one's own thoughts. The Holy Spirit leads believers to express truths that are in agreement with the truth of the Bible. The next one is discerning of spirits, which basically means being able to discern the spirit that is on the inside of somebody. So for example, when you're ministering with people, you could be sitting there, the LL crew would know this, you'd be sitting there with someone and you might sense that that person has been dealing with the spirit of fear for a long time. And here's an interesting thing. If you have had a particular spirit that's been active in your world that you have been set free from, and then you might walk past someone one day and there's like a, I'm familiar with whatever is going on there, because you become familiar with it. And so if you've dealt with something and had, been able to overcome it, then often you'll be able to sense that same spirit in others and help them to overcome that spirit as well. And the next one, diverse kinds of tongues. Perhaps more than any other, the spiritual gifts of diverse kinds of tongues or speaking in tongues and the interpretation of tongues has been confused and misunderstood among believers. It is important to remember that all of the gifts are unexplainable because they're not natural. They are supernatural giftings. So I'm not sure why tongues get such a bad rap, but it does. We should study what the scriptures say about these gifts and trust God to direct them according to his will as the Holy Spirit gives these gifts. Believers are equipped to serve others and glorify God. As we study the scriptures and find out what has been said about this gift, we can find that this gift in particular has been given to fulfill a couple of main purposes. The first one is individual praise, prayer, and worship. And the second is public prophecy or edification of the church where interpretation is needed. Individual praise, prayer, and worship, or public prophecy or edification of the church where interpretation is needed. What do I mean by this? If I come up here with the microphone and I start prophesying with my gift of tongues, no one's going to know what I'm saying unless you have the gift to interpret it. So then you're to have someone who interprets what is being said. Otherwise, you're not building up the church, you're just building up yourself. However, if I'm up here and I'm praying in my own little prayer bubble, I am not going to be ashamed or feel bad for activating my spiritual gift of tongues. If you're over here and you're doing your thing, you're in it. It's you and God, and that's good. And so there are two types. There's the getting up, and to be honest, I actually have never been in a church service where someone's got up and prophesied in tongues and there's been an interpreter. I think it's like a North American thing and it hasn't quite reached the Australian and New Zealand shores, if I'm really honest. And so it's quite different where we're from. And so that's a big part of the reason why I've been researching. But this gift of tongues is one of the most amazing gifts that you can have, because it's your connection to God. As you start to pray, even if you don't have the words to speak, something lifts on the inside, because what happens when someone is finally given a voice to speak? Their shoulders are pushed back. They start to feel empowered, and that's the same thing with your spirit man. When you start to allow your spirit to speak from spirit to spirit, there's an edification that starts to happen in your spirit man that impacts your physical body. It impacts your mind. It impacts your soul. And so I encourage you to desire this gift. Don't be afraid of it. Next week, as we approach the day of Pentecost, don't be afraid of this gift. Don't think, oh, it's weird. They're all kind of weird. So get over it. Okay? This is not a whole club to do natural stuff. The whole point of being a Christian is that you get the chance to live a supernatural life. And so, yes, you might sound to yourself like you are an absolute idiot. And the truth is that we kind of are. But when you start to speak in that language, just let it become normal. When you go to France and, you know, French is your second language, you sound a little bit silly. And people look at you funny. And that's okay, because it's not your native language. This is your native language, but you're coming back to it. You're coming back to it. You're allowing it to come out of you again. And it starts to edify who you are. It starts to connect the things that it talks about, untold mysteries, the things that you're even unaware of. It can start to connect to God. And there is nowhere in the Bible that says that the devil understands what you're saying when you speak in tongues. So yes, there is the interpretation of tongues where you can interpret someone's language. That actually happens, for sure. There is the gift of tongues when you start to speak an actual language, for sure. But there is nowhere in the Bible that says that the devil knows what you are saying when you start to speak in tongues. And so your spirit is prophesying and declaring things in the spirit, and he has no idea what's going on. That is amazing. I just think that's amazing. And so as we approach next week, be thoughtful of that. Acts 2:3-4 says, they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. 1 Corinthians 14:13, and if you want to read more about the tongues and get to know more about it, read 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 14:13 says, so then, if you speak in a tongue, pray for the interpretation to be able to unfold the meaning of what you're saying. This is if you're speaking to the church. For if I am able to pray in a tongue, my spirit is engaged in prayer, but I have no clear understanding of what is being said. This is Paul talking. So here's what I've concluded. I will pray in the spirit, but I will also pray with my mind engaged. I will sing rapturous praises in the spirit, but I will also sing with my mind engaged. Otherwise, if you are praising God in your spirit, how could someone without the gift participate by adding his amen to your giving thanks, since he doesn't have a clue of what you're saying? Your praise to God is admirable, but it does nothing to strengthen and build up others. I give thanks to God that I speak in tongues more than all of you. I love him, eh? He's the best. But in the church setting, I would rather speak 5 words that can be understood than 10,000 exotic words in a tongue. That way, I could have a role in teaching others. But then Jude 20 says, but you, dear friends, by building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 14 says, the one who speaks in tongues advances his own spiritual progress, while the one who prophesies builds up the church. I would be delighted if you all spoke in tongues, but I desire even more that you impart prophetic revelation to others. Greater gain comes through the one who prophesies than the one who speaks in tongues, unless there is interpretation, so that it builds up the entire church. And the interpretation, so it builds up the entire church. That is the gift of tongues. It's available to all of us. As I said before, that when we earnestly seek and ask God for those gifts, he's the kind of father who gives them to us. And finally, interpretation of tongues, which, it's amazing, it's the interpretation of the tongue. God is not a God of confusion, he is a God of order. 1 Corinthians 14, 39 says, so beloved friends, with all of this in mind, be passionate to prophesy and don't forbid anyone from speaking in tongues, doing all things in a beautiful and orderly way. So, yeah, you're not supposed to get up and do a whole crazy kind of, you know, shindig. And the reason is because we're believing and praying that new people are in the church. And when new people are in the church and there's disorder and it's crazy, and there's one place where it says, won't they look at you and call you crazy people? That's literally what it says. 1 Corinthians 14, 33 says, for God is the God of harmony, not confusion, as is the pattern in all the church of God's holy believers. And all of these gifts are for building God's house and his family. And if I can illustrate the manifestation gifts for you, because I know that I've read so much scripture and done so many descriptions so that you can hopefully capture what these are. But if I could sum it up for you in an illustration, it's like this. When you ask Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, comes alive on the inside of you. And you can have the motivational gifts because they were kind of there, they were dormant, and now they're ready to be used in the church. But then when you ask for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, he comes upon your life in power. And so the best way to describe it is imagine a house, because we're called the temple of God. Imagine a house, and when you ask Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, he fills that house with cans of paint, beautiful cans of paint that express the beauty of God and the goodness of God. They're amazing cans of paint, the best colors in the world. But that's great, but how is it going to be used? And so when the power of the Holy Spirit comes on your life, it's like you're inviting a whole painting team to come into your house, grab those cans, and start to paint the inside. And the inside starts to look a bit better. It starts to look amazing. But it doesn't just stop there. The Holy Spirit finishes on the inside, and he starts to outwork on the outside, bringing value to the house. So that as people start to walk past it, they say, huh, it's an amazing house. I wonder what happened there. Who decorated it? What's going on? Wow, it's beautiful. And that's what happens when the power of the Holy Spirit and the gifts are activated in your life. The main article I read on this said this: the motivational, ministry, and manifestation gifts of the Holy Spirit all contribute to the orderliness of God's design of working in the church and the world. These supernatural spiritual gifts are awe-inspiring. As instruments of God's work, we must seek to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit and to submit to God instead of yielding to the influence of our sinful desires. Then, when the Holy Spirit works among believers and bestows spiritual gifts, there will be peace and orderliness, not strife and confusion. God will be glorified and the church will be edified. If the band could come and join me. Point number three is a true understanding of the Holy Spirit is found through relationship. A true understanding of the Holy Spirit is found through relationship. Because we've talked about his fruits, his character, we've talked about the gifts that he gives us. But a true understanding, like I said at the start, of who the Holy Spirit is only found through relationship. And guys, it's so important. It's so important. We're not supposed to come to church to just say hooray and this is great and we get to all hang out with each other. We are supposed to be Christians who are filled with the Holy Spirit and empowered by the Holy Spirit, not because we've read about it, but because we know who he is. And, you know, I have had so many moments where I have felt dry and empty and realized that the Holy Spirit has come off my life. That yes, it's still alive on the inside of me, but the power of the Holy Spirit has come off my life. And so we must always continually come back. And how do we come back? We repent. We ask for forgiveness. We say, come back, come and live in my life. John 1:33 says this, then as John baptized Jesus, he spoke these words, I see the Spirit of God appear like a dove descending from the heavenly realm. He's talking about seeing Jesus and landing upon him. And it rested upon him from that moment forward. And even though I've yet to experience him, when I was commissioned to baptize with water, God spoke these words to me. One day you will see the Spirit descend and remain upon a man. He will be the one I have sent to baptize with the Holy Spirit. And now I have seen with discernment. I can tell you for sure that this man is the Son of God. Is it Rick Warren who shared the message on the dove? Bill Johnson. The scripture never talks about the dove ever leaving Jesus. It says it comes to rest on him, but it doesn't say that it left. It said it remained. And what I'm trying to share with you is that as what was his name again? Rick Warren, Bill Johnson. As he shares about this, he says that you can go through life and you have the Holy Spirit, but a bird is quite flittery, it's quite jittery. Any sudden move and it flies away. And guys, the Holy Spirit is the same because he's a person who lives in your life. And if we grieve the Holy Spirit, then he could fly off. And we find moments where we come back to him and we say, Holy Spirit, fill me again. I've had those moments where I've had incredible, incredible realizations of like, wow, I've been going for a few years without the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, without the power of the Holy Spirit in my life, and had unreal moments of the Holy Spirit coming back because he's that good. Ephesians 4:30, as I close, says this, the Holy Spirit of God has sealed you in Jesus Christ until you experience your full salvation. So never grieve the Spirit of God or take for granted his holy influence in your life. Romans 15:13 says, now may God, the inspiration and fountain of hope, fill you to overflowing with uncontainable joy and perfect peace as you trust in him, and may the power of the Holy Spirit continually surround your life with his superabundance until you radiate with hope. 2 Corinthians 3:17, the first scripture. Now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. When every person in the church is filled and baptized with the Holy Spirit, the person is strong, the church is strong and empowered. The people are built up and not burnt out because everyone is activated in their gifts. Guys, it's time to get activated in our gifts. It's time to get activated in our gifts. It's time to stop being a Christian who's watching from the sidelines. Look at these teachings. Figure out who you are. You can do all the Enneagrams and personality tests that you want. Those are awesome. They add value. But if you don't know your spiritual gifts, if you don't know your motivational gifts, if you're not activated in those things, then wow, you're kind of just not activated in who God has called you to be. But when we are, everybody starts to fulfill their role in the church. People slot in, find their space. They end up walking into the things that God is saying, hey, you're really good at this, come and do this. They start to get activated. And when we are all activated in our giftings, the church is strong, the church is built up, and the people are built up and not burnt out. Amen? Amen.
We are so glad you joined us today at Liberty City Podcast. Please check us out on social media and find an event to connect with us.